They show up for work on time, never ask for a raise or a day off, and love to please. And so we ask, which dog would you employ to move your herd? Hello out there. You are tuned into the 1001st edition of the Food Chain Radio Program, right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Pucallpa who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at MetroFarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with brand new engineer Jason Struby on the boards. Hello, Jason.
Good morning.
All right. Good morning. Now, I have a question for you as a brand new engineer. Ready for it?
I'm ready.
Okay. You have three 3,000-pound bulls in the corral, and you got to take the food into the corral for them. You want to hold them off on the side of the corral so you can deliver their food without them trampling you. So how do you go about doing that?
Well, you definitely need a strategy for
sure.
Yeah,
you need a strategy. Okay, Jason. Thank you very much. We'll see if we can come up with a strategy here for you. Folks, if you, like many city people, think cattle are dumb, I invite you to try moving a couple hundred of the frisky bovines from their favorite pasture into a corral for some doctoring. I'll wager it would not take too long before you would hire a couple dogs to do the job instead. In fact, those dogs you hire will likely be the perfect employees, as they will show up for work on time, love their work, never ask for a raise or a day off, and love to please you. I want a dog with brains and bite, says cattle rancher and dog trainer Jerry Davis of Murray, Iowa. They like to work and always say the worst thing, and I always say the worst thing you can do to them is give them a day off. In fact, farmers and ranchers worldwide have employed dogs throughout the ages to help them complete their chores quickly and efficiently when dealing with livestock on the farm and ranch. For those with dogs that do not work, like yours truly, the number of chores working dogs routinely do for their employers would likely amaze. And so today we ask, which dog should we employ to move our herd around? Here to help us round up an answer, we have the aforementioned Jerry Davis. Jerry is a cattle rancher and dog trainer out there in Murray, Iowa. Jerry, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you.
Pleasure to have you aboard. Where's Murray, Iowa?
Well, we're about south of Des Moines, about 65 miles right down I-35.
Right in the heart of the heartland, right?
We have kind of cattle country. We have some row crop, but a lot of rough country, cattle country, grass.
Well, for the benefit of those who, Jerry, for the benefit of those who live in the city, what's the difference between cattle country and row crop country?
Well, down here we have land that you probably cannot farm or put into tillage every year. So, I mean, a lot of it is grassland that you preferably don't want to farm because of it's steep, some of it's got some timber on it, brush.
So instead of farming them with row crops, you farm them with animals, right?
Well, kind of, yes. And the thing of it is we do have some ground we row crop, but row cropping generally is a bigger deal north of us rather than south.
Okay, fair enough. So you are a grass farmer, we'll call you, because that's what you grow and you turn it into crops via the good work of animals. Jerry, you raise cattle and you raise working dogs. I'd like to hear your version of what tell us about your favorite working dog.
Well, I've got two dogs that I like really well. I've got a 5-year-old female called Rita, and I've got a 2-year-old male dog that I call Lou that I got out of Canada from Campbell Forsyth. He's probably the toughest dog I've owned to date, as far as if you got something that's not wanting to play, so to speak, you can kind of take him and with a little bit of attitude adjustment on some cattle, usually they find out that he's going to be the boss.
Yeah. Good.
So, and I like that. I've also, my female, she's probably not as tough, but really can work cattle really well. You know, there's certain situations she probably is not as good as my male dog, but for the most part, they both have their place, and I guess the thing that most people probably need to understand that we never go to the pasture. My son and I, he farms and works town, but we've got cattle together. We never go to the pasture. We never go to the lot. We don't have a dog with us.
You always have that dog. Well, let me ask you this.
The thing of it is, you got to get your cattle broke to your dog, or at least knowing what a dog is.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my biggest deal back in this country, you hear guys that say, well, I took my dog out and their cattle doesn't know what it is. They buy a young dog, they send him out and 100 head of cows, and the next thing you know, he's under the truck.
Right.
Well,
so you're saying you have to train the dogs and you have to train the cattle as well.
Right. So
if, let me ask you a quick question before we go into training and everything, because I'm trying to, you know, set the stage here a little bit for the audience. You have favorite dogs and they're with you pretty much all the time. Do you have a favorite cow?
The one that respects my dog.
Does any one cow ever stand out in your mind as being, I mean, all of the cattle you've had through the years, does any one of them ever stand out as being the cow I remember?
Well, I tell you what, anytime you go to move a cow herd, it seems like you always have a cow that wants to be the lead cow. And those cows appreciate, because when you go to pasture, they know where the corral's at, and usually they take the lead, the rest of them, with a little
encouragement,
dogs will follow. So yes, there is a certain, and you hate to see them cows get old, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, then you have to start over.
Well, I'd like to start off the show by asking you a very simple question that'll kind of open things up for us. And that is, how is it possible for a 40-pound dog to boss around a 3,000-pound bull? I was watching a video of a guy feeding three bulls in a corral. And, you know, he had to take the roll of the hay into the corral and put it in its container. And to do that, he had to keep the 3,000-pound bulls away on the other side of the corral so he could do his work without getting trampled by three monster bulls. So the dog did it. How is it possible for one 40-pound dog to corner three 3,000-pound bulls and control them like that?
Well, it's the animal has to respect the dog. The dog has to show enough power, enough confidence and power to make them bulls believe that he is the boss. And it's really, whether they weigh 3,000 pounds or they weigh 500 pounds, once the dog gets the animal or the cattle believing he's the boss, then it all works pretty easy.
Right. But how on earth does a 40-pound dog convince a 3,000-pound bull that he's the boss?
Well, it's because you take the dog with you, and he has probably had to sometime encounter, had to grab a nose or grab a heel or whatever. But, you know, it's all about everyday routine. That dog knows that you do not want them cattle up there. His job's to keep them away. And it's really not as hard as you might think if you have the right dog.
Okay, folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program, 1,001st edition of the Food Chain. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. We have Jerry Davis with us today, and we're talking about working dogs. Yes, there are people out there who put dogs to work, not like yours truly. And those people who put dogs to work find them to be very valuable work employees on the farm. There's so much they can do. We're going to learn all about what they can do, what breeds there are, and how you go about training a 40-pound dog to take control of a 3,000-pound bull. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson, you're invited to participate today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. What your favorite working dog? Let us know.
Get this. You can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
Houseplants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high-value specialty crops for the city at metrofarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at metrofarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at metrofarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-, 6-, or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at metrofarm.com. That's metrofarm.com.
Well, you know, when we city people go for a drive out in the country and we see those cows, those cattle out there in the pasture chewing on their cud, looking at us, kind of think, gosh, they look like dumb animals. Well, Jerry Davis, you've been raising cattle for a while. Are cattle dumb?
Not really. They're pretty smart as far as they know how to avoid what you want to do sometimes if they're probably smarter than we give them credit for.
Yeah. Well, and that being the case, we're considering how it's possible for a 40-pound dog to manage like a 3,000-pound bull. And that's really what, you know, you folks hire them to do, is to manage livestock. And they can do it so much quicker and so much more effortlessly than can we. Anybody who's ever tried to, you know, move a pasture filled with reluctant cattle from one place, or, you know, where they're happy grazing on some good grass into a corral, for instance, not an easy thing to do. Even if you have a good horse, it's not an easy thing to do. But if you have a good dogs, it becomes much, much easier thing to do. And that's the secret we're talking about today, is how we get dogs to manage our herd. And that's a curious thing. What is it then that a dog must do, must be able to do, to convince that 3,000-pound bull that the dog is bigger than the bull?
Well, it's all mental. Like I say, you have your dog in the stock enough that the stock, they get a respect for the dog that you have working. And, you know, I'm not saying that you just throw a dog out there. There's more to it than that. You've got to have a dog that minds. You've got to have a dog that will, you're able to put where you need him, because cattle don't you just don't drive into a pasture and they automatically run to the corral. That's not how it works. The dog has to out-finesse them, out-flank them. If you have certain cows that just do not want to play, but, I mean, they don't necessarily want to fight your dog, but they're always looking for an escape route. So you have to have a dog that you can flank, put him where you want him, stop him where you want him, and drive the cattle where you want them.
You talk about how you want a dog with brains and bite. What do you mean by that?
Well, I want him to bite if I need them to, but I don't want a dog just in biting, cutting, and slicing.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk, with respect, you want a dog to bite. Why would you want a dog to bite?
Well, if you have a cow or a bull that does not respect the dog, they have to sometimes get a hold of them to turn them, to make them think that they are the boss. So in order to do that, you got to have a dog with courage enough to step to the plate and turn the livestock. So, you know, it's the age-old game of I'm going to make you think that I can out-tough you if I have to and outsmart you if I have to.
So it's probably a case of one good bite will save a whole lot of little bites then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I've seen all kinds of different dogs. I've had these dogs around for, and I always try to find a dog with a lot of intelligence, with enough bite to use it when they need to and not be in there harassing them if they don't need to. If you get too tight on cow, if your dog gets too tight on cows and calves, the natural instinct of a mama cow is to fight the predator off. If you've got a dog that you can control and keep him off or her off, worry the mama cow a little bit. She'll gather her baby up and go probably where you want her to.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have the fight. And I don't want the fight.
Right. So, you know, on the farm of my youth, every person and every animal and every plant had its purpose. And there was no slacking by anything or anybody. You all had a job and everybody had a job and there was no exceptions. What happens when you find a dog that doesn't work? What do you do then? You make a pet out of them?
Well, you know, and I'm not going to tell you they all work. There's dogs that will make sheep dogs probably that will not make cattle dogs. You know, I mean, they're just,
that gets us.
Move sheep and stuff, but not necessarily the kind of dog I want for cattle dogs.
Okay, so there are all kinds of animals that needed to be managed in an agricultural setting on a small farm or what have you. There's cattle, of course, sheep. What about the difference between goats and sheep?
Well, I tell you the truth, Bob Johnson, a good friend of mine, I have no sheep, don't want any. But he does have, and he's a good hand. He usually starts all of my dogs, young dogs for me, on sheep. For one thing, you get some handle on them. When I say handle, direction, being able to keep them out of harm's way until you get enough control of them and that you can do a lot of things with them. And sheep is, very few sheep are going to hurt it.
So sheep being famous for being a little more compliant.
Right, right. And then when I get them back home, he has them for about 30 days. Then I've got dairy calves, Holsteins. And that's what I work my young dogs on. And there's a reason for that. For one thing, you can drive them away from you and set them in a pasture and they'll stay put. And the other thing is, with young dogs, it's important to build confidence.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like that's what you're doing when you start them with sheep, and they go to dairy cattle and then... I mean, you're not just going to throw a pup into a corral with a 3,000-pound bull. You're going to have to build a lot of intelligence and practice and abilities into that cow, into that
dog.
Well,
on the whole thing, not only they kick like in slow motion compared to your American breeds of cattle. So that's another benefit. You always want to try to give a young dog the advantage. In other words, don't put him in a place where that he's going to lose. Set him up to succeed.
Kind of like you want to do kids, right?
Right. And you know, I'm fairly old, and I'm kind of a disciplinarian. I treat them like I would kids. If they do good, I praise them. If they do bad, I get after them and scold them. And most dogs don't like to be scolded. They like to please.
Yeah.
But there's a certain amount of them that takes a... That's the reason I put the big emphasis on brains.
And speaking of brains, I guess that'll take us to the next part of our discussion here, which is, you know, what kind of breeds do you prefer for what kind of work? There are so many different kinds of breeds.
And you know, I don't want to make anybody mad because I've got border collies.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Jerry, hold on. We need to make some people mad, and it'll probably be all those people who don't have border collies. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson with Jerry Davis and you. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Everything you wanted to know about working dogs from a man who works dogs. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Michael Olson, this is the Food Chain with Jerry Davis and you, right back. Well, here's a job for you. Head out into that pasture filled with frisky cattle and convince them that they should head back to the corral where they need to be doctored up with some vaccinations. Now, if you walk out there by yourself or maybe a friend or two or three or four or a half dozen, you're going to have to pretty much do a lot of convincing to get those cows back into the corral because they're not going to want to go. Having been there a few times myself, I know what that's like. But if you have a couple of well-trained dogs, it's pretty easy to do the job, especially if they're well-trained. Maybe not so if they're not so well-trained. Three kinds of basic jobs for moving animals about the pasture. One of them is driving, another mustering, and another boundary. Jerry Davis, what exactly is driving mean?
Well, I tell you, a driving is a dog that can take the stock, drive them away from you. In other words, when I go to the pasture, I send my dog, he brings the cattle. Border collies, I'm just particularly talking about them, they are a fetching dog. So, in other words, when you send them out, their main thing is they want to fetch them to you, but when I get to the pasture, when they get to me, then your dog has to continue on taking them to the corral, and he has to drive them.
So the first job would be
Right, he has to pace himself, and you have to be able to flank your dog from one direction to the other, mm-hmm. and by command. I've got a dog or two that we have moved them, pinned them in the corral enough times, they've got a pretty good idea of where we're going. So it takes very little.
Right, right. So the first job you talked about would be mustering them, which is when you bring all the cattle into one place, right?
Right.
And then driving them, you get the dogs to move the cattle in a specific direction. What's a boundary dog?
Well, I guess I don't really know what you mean by boundary dog.
They kind of design dogs specifically bred for keeping animals in one section of a pasture, for example. So kind of they establish the boundary and then they maintain the boundary.
Is that more or less a guard dog?
Guard dog, yeah. German shepherds are said to make good boundary dogs, so I was just curious.
Right. And that's something in my country we have very few of because there's not a lot of sheep herds around here. They're mostly cattle herds, and they're pretty much able to take care of themselves.
Right.
Without boundary dogs.
So we see that there are, you know, the American Kennel folks have 18 different breeds of dogs that they list as herding dogs. And there are other ones as well. You are partial to border collies. Why border collies?
Well, for a hobby, I go to field trials, cattle trials, sheep trials, and I'm not saying there's not other breeds there, but basically I would say 90%, 95% of the dogs I compete against are other border collies. And I don't know if every dog has its place. I'm not trying to run anybody's breed of dog down.
But yours are best, right?
Well, for me, they're the best.
Okay, fair enough. Well, you know, I have a friend who has a border collie, and she just absolutely loves it. But from what I understand, they're very busy dogs, and they're extremely intelligent. So you have to kind of keep them busy, don't you?
Well, you know, that's the thing I tell people back here. My dogs are either with me or they're in the kennel. I don't let them run loose. For one thing, young dogs especially will get a lot of bad habits started by doing their own thinking instead of letting me do some of it.
Hanging around with the wrong people, so to speak,
right.
The wrong dogs.
Right. So, you know, that's what I tell people. If you want a dog to lay out in the yard and watch cars go by or chase them as they go by, you don't want a border collie.
Well, let's go to the phones, folks. We're talking with Jerry Davis, who's a cattle rancher and a dog breeder in Murray, Iowa. And today we're talking about what it takes to manage a working dog. Not the kind of dog I have, but a working dog, a dog that actually earns its keep in the world, being a working dog. So let's go to Sue. Sue, welcome to the Food Chain Radio program. You're with Jerry Davis. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Hi, Jerry.
Hi there.
I don't have a border collie. I'm not mad. I love my dog. I know everybody says that, though. And the problem with my dog, and I still haven't heard you talk about it. I did, but not to your breed border collie. I didn't mean to say yours or anything. These beautiful dogs. What about, do they bite? The border collies have bite in them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm tripping about a lot of things, very nonlinear. Anyway, how can I cut to the chase? I have a in between, like a three different sizes. His mom is the little with papers, Queensland Heeler Red. And his dad is the, like, 65-pound, can't-get-papers, had dingo slipped in, Queensland Heeler, purebred. And I got about 50 pounds of muscle dog with a lot of bite. And very, very intelligent. I tell you, no lie, this dog never, he's 5 years old and he never once potted in the house.
Are these like blue heeler dogs, the Australian?
This is the red one.
Red. So it's a red
blue
heeler.
No blue in him. Maybe somewhere, I don't know, because I'm wrong more than I'm right.
Well, these are the dogs, these are very interesting dogs. It's the kind of dog I worked with on our cattle ranch in Montana. We're in, one of the eyes is really blue, the other's brown.
Well, he hasn't got that. He has all the bells and whistles, though, in other ways, like one eyelash is white.
Well, you know what? I found the blue heeler that I worked with was extremely protective.
Yeah. Okay, this one I have, from what I've heard of all the evidence of others, like breeders and folks raised with heelers, is, and I knock on wood, because he runs for my skirts when the pound puppies attack him.
Uh-huh.
He's really friendly. He has to learn, you know, you can't jump in on everyone looking to play.
But your question, Sue, was how do I manage the biting? Is that where you're going?
No, it wasn't even that, because that's figured already. Like, he's any problem is with me with this dog, okay? He's fine. I think I wanted to free labor him out to see how he'd be around a cow for once in his life, because the cowboys in Montana are like, lady, y'all old with this dog in a mobile home? What's wrong with you? Get a poodle. And I think about it all the time when he feels like too much dog for me, even though I'm too much, you know.
Well, that's a great question. We're going to have to take a quick break. Sue, thanks for the great phone call.
All right.
So that's a great question. She has a big, mean Australian catalog in a trailer. Jerry?
Hey, well, my dogs stay in the kennel. I don't have them in the house, so I guess you'd have to talk to somebody that has a dog live in the house with them. So
there you go, a whole different. But that's another thing we want to pick up when we get back. How you train dogs and how you keep them trained and letting them run free is not the way to do it. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson right back. Lots of different kinds of dogs, lots of different kinds of work for them to do on the farm, on the ranch, managing the animals that live on the farm and ranch. One of the most famous kinds of dogs, of course, for working on farms and ranches is the Border Collie. Extremely smart dogs, very fast. And if you ever had a chance to watch a video of them working cattle, it's fun to watch. I have a friend who has a Border Collie. And she's so enamored with this dog that she actually goes out to the countryside and rents some sheep from a rancher so that her dog can be entertained. Are they that demanding of entertainment, Jerry Davis?
Well, yeah, they like to work. They're bred to work. That's the part they like the best. And I'm not saying they're not good companion dogs, but they're a business dog, I call them.
Mm-hmm. Do you have family dogs that are separate from your working dogs?
No. My dogs are all...
So when you end your working day and you go into the house, you don't have a dog in there laying on the couch?
No.
Nope. Okay.
My dogs, if I come to the house, I guess my dogs have a place out in the garage as I come in. Like if I come in to eat lunch and I might bring, if I got a dog with me, I'll let them come in. They've got a place in the garage. They lay there while I eat. When I get ready to go back out, they're with me and they stay where I put them. And like I say, my dog's probably, I'm kind of an old disciplinarian. Mm-hmm. That's the way I was raised, to kind of do what you're told, and that's what I expect my dogs to do. So,
you know, Jerry, I was talking to some high school students. I gave a speech to the local high school here this week, and then talking about doing the show, I talked about how people who work with dogs have their working dogs, and they keep them separate from dogs that are somebody's pets. They say if, you know, you take your dog, working dogs to a ranch and to manage the livestock, you keep them away from the other dogs. Do you see that as something that is really happens?
No, and I'll tell you what, Mike, I get all of my dogs, all but one, I have either raised or bought as pups, 8-9 week old pups. And I always tell everybody that I like to socialize with them, make them start liking me before they start disliking me.
Ah, okay.
You know what I mean, in the training process. So I think that's important to have that bond between the person that's going to be using them and the dog that you're going to use. I know... My son, I've got two dogs here. He's got dogs at his house, Border Collies, and he can't take my dogs won't hardly work for him. His dogs won't hardly work for me. They're kind of a, you know, and mm-hmm. I think they would if he had them there long enough, maybe, but just for me to go out there for a day to gather cattle. So, my dog listened to me, his dog listened to him.
So the dogs really are people dogs, aren't they? I mean, they're really doing the work for you.
Right.
They're not doing the work because it's their job. They're doing the work to please you.
Right. They like to please.
You like to please. One other quick dog about question about breeds, and this breed has to be stumped totally. Welsh Corgis, designed to be herding dogs, but they forgot the legs.
Right. I have not seen any, so I really can't comment on. I'm sure if you had sheep or goats or whatever, they might work. I don't know.
I suspect they must have been bred for small pasture kind of work rather than big pasture kind of work that you might have in Iowa. Maybe English countryside.
You send your dog a quarter mile or whatever and ditches and brush, and they might not like it very well.
They might not like that kind of work. When do you start training a dog, Jerry?
Well, I used to, when I first got into this deal, I was always anxious to get to see what I had, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I might start them early, 7-8 months. But I tell you, since I've got older and a little bit had better luck or wiser, I try not to start my young dogs until 11, 12 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And I seem like I have pretty good. For one thing, it's kind of, you can only physically, them young dogs can only take so much.
Yeah,
they're not physically mature enough to, you know, stand the pressure.
So you let them grow into things before you force them into it. We're going to go quickly to the phones. Bill has a question about working dogs. Bill, go ahead. Are you there, Bill?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I am here. Thank you. So I've had three cattle dogs. My first one was a Kelty McNabb mix, and the second two were Queensland Heeler mixes. And they were very good, both of them, at voice commands. I'm not trained on how to run cattle dogs, and they were not really trained when I got them. But they were pretty good at following vocal commands and, to a smaller extent, arm movements when
okay.
they were close.
Can you hold that question? We just ran out of time. We'll pick it up when we get right back. Okay, this is the Food Chain, Michael Olson. Bill's got a question for Jerry Davis. 800-624-266-5831-479-1080 is how you can ask a question. Do stay tuned. We will be right back with your questions, comments, all about working dogs. Well, Bill has some Queensland Heelers. I think they're the kind of the same thing as a Blue Heeler, but I don't even know what a Blue Heeler is anymore. What is a Blue Heeler, Jerry Davis?
Well, back in this country anyway, most of them are red or blue, and to me they're more of a driving dog than they are a fetching dog.
Okay.
Now, that's what little I know about them.
Fair enough. And Bill has some driving dogs, I guess, and he can talk to them. But I think he's going to try to figure out how to talk to them with his hands. Is that right, Bill?
Yeah, to a certain extent. They were always really good at working between me and the herd or the end of the herd. But I could never get them to work on the far side of the herd to bring the cattle right directly towards me.
Oh, they're not fetching dogs. They're driving dogs. Is that right, Jerry?
Yeah,
that's kind of what I see. But most of these dogs work off of pressure. In other words, if you want a young dog to go on a way or counterclockwise, you would put pressure on the other side, release the pressure so he could go that way. The same way if you give him a come by, you put pressure on the wayside and make him go clockwise. So with your hand, I heard you say you use arm commands. Well, sounds to me like what you're doing is releasing the pressure on one side and putting pressure on the other side. Is that right?
I guess that's what I'm doing, since I'm not that, you know, I'm no expert on it. Basically, what I tried to do was to just convince the dogs that their first idea of what needed to be done was the right thing. Because they, one of the problems I had with them, as the herd increased, even if it was just one cow, as he increased his speed, the dog increased his speed. And I just wanted him to drive the cow, the calf, the steer, whatever, towards me, kind of gently. And they would do that to a certain extent. They would charge it, and then they would stop and lay down, and they would charge it and stop and lay down. But it was just always, I had problems with them when they were on the far side of the herd from me.
So they're far away. How do you, when you talk about putting pressure on them, how do you put a pressure on a dog that's on the other side of the herd, Jerry Davis?
Well, you can on young dogs. For one thing, I don't take a young dog to the herd. When I take a dog to the herd, I aim for him to be broken enough that he understands voice commands or whistle commands. Other than, you know, you take a young dog, put him in a, like I say, I always set my dogs up to win. I never set them up for failure, so I don't take a young dog and put him in that predicament. I got other dogs I can do that with, but I guess if I was going to give him some advice, instead of taking him to the herd, I would probably get three or four cattle in a paddock lot, whatever, work my dogs in there and see if I couldn't get them to realize what I was expecting them to do.
Mm-hmm. What is the biggest mistake people make when they're training a dog to work, Bill or Jerry?
Well, I think...
Darn.
Confidence.
Okay, and that with that, we just ran out of time. Jerry Davis, thank you so much for joining us on the Food Chain today, talking about dogs. I envy your herd of dogs and the experience you had with them. Try to figure out how to get my dogs to work. Good luck. Thank you all for tuning in.
Okay, thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.